Greetings from the Walmart in Carson City, Nevada. What a week. I was sitting here trying to figure out why I feel so run down. And I just realized that in about a week's time, maybe 8 days, maybe 7 days, I have been in Northern Nevada, crossed into California, up into Oregon, across the middle of Oregon, all the way on over to the coast, down the coast to Trinidad, California, and then across California, Northern California, back to Nevada. And I'll tell you all about it in the Great California Reset Podcast 1021, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Quick mention of the outage of Facebook this week. And I think Twitter also went south for a little while. I have long since given up on Twitter. And I actually find Instagram and LinkedIn to work best with what I'm doing now. Facebook is almost an afterthought, although I always do post on Facebook. But it gives me an opportunity to talk about something that is really important in the long run, which is the BobDavisPodcast.com. This is the website that holds all the podcasts and the blog. A lot of people don't know that I have a blog. So every single podcast has some 300 plus 400 words with outbound links and so forth. And there's 1,021 podcasts, and all that content is searchable. So for people who are clients of the Bob Davis Podcast, that website is quite powerful in terms of SEO and a lot of other things, because all that content is searchable, and it goes back to 2009, which is pretty cool. And if you go back to the first couple of podcasts, you'll see the evolution of the blog into what has become, because I never intended the blog. I just intended the website to be this thing that held the podcast. So when something like Facebook goes down, you know, my podcasts are not held by Facebook. They don't live on that platform. They live on their own platform. So unless GoDaddy goes down, you know, or Amazon server goes down, then we'll have another issue. But so far, that hasn't been a problem. And in terms of updating and developing that website, I need contributions from listeners and people who want to support the Bob Davis Podcast. You can do that by going to thebobdavispodcast.com, clicking on the yellow donate button, which is on the right side of the page, right under the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Appreciate all the donations. Don't have the list in front of me, but I know that tons of people have been donating, and I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate the likes and shares, obviously, on social media. Not comments so much, especially on Facebook. And I've actually done whole podcasts about why I don't think people should comment on Facebook anymore. But I don't particularly want comments. I don't do this for comments. I just put my podcast notices on Facebook so people know that I've just posted a new podcast. So if you share it and like it, that will help me more than commenting. Also, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com with streaming or individual podcasts, Google Play Music, Amazon and Audible, and Spotify, TuneIn, podmn.com, and many, many more. So I'm sitting around talking to my friend Shelley in Page, Arizona recently, and her friend Al is a retired 747 pilot, and he is helping her with all her licensing and stuff for her Airstream trailer. And I said, oh, have you heard about Privacy Post? What do they do? This is Al. What do they do? Well, they get South Dakota licensing for RVs and things of that nature. Oh, I got a guy. I don't need him. I'm going to give you the guy's card. I've got a guy. So this is the way it is these days. Everybody's got a guy. I'm going to give you a guy. This is your new guy. PrivacyPost.io. What do? They do virtual mail service, which means that if you're in Carson City, Nevada, you can get your mail, right? Even though you're registered in South Dakota as a resident, which means you have South Dakota plates in your car. Why is that great? Well, you may have noted just recently there was a whole article about the rich and where they put their money, and an awful lot of them put them in South Dakota. So you can get a legal business address, privacy trustee management, and most important to me, mobile data and VPN hardware, which I have in my truck, which I've talked about, and I've been able to get online, upload podcasts, do all kinds of things I would not have been able to do if it wasn't for Privacy Post. Check them out online at privacypost.io or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you're getting ready to go out, you just got your trailer, if you think you want to stop paying your state taxes back home, now you got a guy. Yeah, podcast 1021, and I've been, obviously, I'm always in contact with friends via text, voice messaging, whatever, and I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about how we both feel really run down, and I feel run down, just sitting here in the evening in a parking lot in Carson City, Nevada, a Walmart parking lot. I could have recorded me doing this, but I decided not to. I decided to make this just a super clean podcast without too much fanfare, because that's the way I feel right now. But I cooked my steak and eggs and ate it real fast, went into the Walmart, bought a piece of cheesecake, had that for dessert, drinking my coffee, and got my trusty map out, which is very dog-eared. California is in three sections that are now separating from the map. And this is, I think this is a 2019 Rand McNally Atlas. And I can't get rid of it because I've made notes on a lot of the states that I've been in. So I can't, on each page, there's little circles and things. So I can't really get rid of it. But I got the Atlas out because I didn't want to do this off the top of my head. So yeah, in Carson City, Nevada. And as I said, the last week is a blur. Oftentimes, travel really is like a dream, and it really has been a dream this week. Some of the things I've seen, Crater Lake National Park is amazing. Tried to find the Rogue Van Life campground, couldn't. Ended up going on to my friends in Riddle, Oregon, and then after we hung out for a while, I headed on over to, I thought, well, you know, I was in Nevada. I was going to just kind of stay in Nevada. I was going to head south in Nevada for the deserts. And I thought, well, I'll go see my friends in Oregon. And these maps are, you almost have to take a ruler and check the distances before you travel, because these maps are deceptive. For example, the page I'm looking at is Nevada, and it looks like New Hampshire. New Hampshire and Nevada are the same size in this, whatever it is, 8x14 or 8x15 atlas, except they are not the same size. The range scale is completely different. Same goes for California and Oregon. And I thought, I'll just, it's a hop, skip, and a jump up to Oregon. And I did have a beautiful drive from Nevada up 395 north all the way across, with a stop, as I said, in Riddle in the fall. So Oregon in the fall is amazing. It was an amazing trip, great weather. Then I got all the way over to the coast at Coos Bay and just had a great day traveling down 101 through there. And then it started to rain. I thought, well, you know, this will mean that within a year, I've done two coast-to-coast trips. So I thought, well, perfect. So I went ahead and went to the Pacific. So now I can say that I have two coast-to-coast trips in 1 year, which is pretty amazing. So I went across to Coos Bay, and as I said, great weather. And I kept coming down to Northern California, and as I did, the front moved in across the bay there and into the coast, and it was rain, and the kind of rain that you do not see anywhere else but California. Just a misting, heavy, pouring rain. And I have been here, I think it was in 2014 or 15, I tried to do this coastal trip and it poured down the whole time. It was just not very pleasurable at all. And I just thought, I'm not doing this again. I've done my coast to coast thing. And I ended up staying in a rest stop in Trinidad or near Trinidad, which I don't usually do. I don't know why I don't like rest stops. I just don't. There's just too much activity and it's not like a truck stop. You know, people say, oh, you stay in, how can you stay in truck stops? Truck stops are great because you know what everyone's doing. Everyone's traveling, whatever. If you're with the trucks, generally there's no issues at all. And this time I was in a rest area and it was okay. It was fine, but it was still raining all night long. Got up the next day and the rain was over, but I just thought it's really cold and I don't want to deal with the cold. So it's time to reset. And this is why I'm tired, because I decided to reset. In other words, go back to where I was when I started this whole thing and kind of continue on with the trip that I was planning to take when I decided to call in an audible and go up to Oregon. And I'm glad I went to Oregon. It was great. You know, Crater Lake this time of the year is amazing. There's other places in Oregon to see that I haven't had a chance, didn't get a chance. But that's the thing. A lot of times these days, when I'm traveling, I think, oh, I've got to stop and I've got to see that. And I've got to go do that. And oh, I've got to do this, because everyone tells you, you should do this and you should do that. But then I remember, hey, I'll be back. So I'm not going to just constantly be pulling off the road or changing the general plan of the trip. And this is why, to tell you the truth, not that I'm complaining that I ended up seeing friends in Riddle, but this is why, because you end up having to reset the whole thing. So why did I want to go to Southern Nevada? Because it's warm, especially Death Valley. Any further south is usually warm this time of the year, and I do not want to be cold. And the reason is you end up fighting cold and fighting a cold because of this constant change of environment. And sometimes it's really nice and pleasant, and other times it is not. Now, right now on the coast, at least at the time of this recording, it is very cold. So I thought, I've got to reset. And I was going to take 299 across. And I'm telling you guys this for a reason. Usually I don't do travelogues, but I'm telling you now. So it would have been 299. This is the main road that goes up and over the mountains, just to the at Eureka. That's where you pick it up, 299 East. But there were signs that there were huge delays, 15, 16, 17-hour delays on 299. And I thought, well, why would that be going on? I'll tell you in a moment. And I ended up deciding to go across California on 36. So this is a state highway that is really not built for trucks. It's really not built for trucks with trailers or cars with trailers, and definitely not fifth wheels, but it is spectacular. So you take 36 until it connects up with 8936, and then you take that through the Trinity National Forest. I ended up staying at a Love's at some point in there. I don't know when or where that was. And then today I jumped on 8936 and then 8970 all the way to 295. And then that comes back into Nevada around Reno, Sparks. And now I'm down in Carson City. Eventually this little leg of 295 will roll back down into California and we will connect up with Death Valley. So that's the plan. The reason I told you about the routes is because I had a very interesting experience today driving through these national forests. I mentioned Lassen, I mentioned Trinity, and I mentioned Plumas. If you get up in this part of the country in Northern California, you're going to find that Lassen National Park, which you can usually drive through and camp in some places, is closed, and a lot of the campgrounds are closed because this entire area has just been ravaged by forest fires. And you know, I've seen forest fires. I've actually seen them burning. This particular spate of this summer's forest fires start coming across in late July, early August in Montana when it was 110 degrees, 109 degrees, all through there, 107 in North Dakota those days. And I saw those fires starting to form at the time in Montana. But I've never actually, I remember at one point driving through areas that had been burning. And the thing that is off-putting about a forest fire is they're extremely dangerous. And yet they're disarming in a way because they smell like a campfire. So I never really, being a Midwestern kid, my only experience with wildfires was, prairie fires, which have the smell of leaves and grass fires. Sometimes we'd be out riding our bikes and we'd see the fire department down at one part of where we lived, and it was usually a grass fire, and you'd smell it, and it smelled like grass burning or leaves burning. This smells like a giant campfire. Now, I have never seen one in full bloom burning, but they are obviously fast moving. And I went through a bunch of places today, all along 36 and 89, that had been completely just burned out. Cars, trucks, semis, buildings, places where people used to live or have businesses, completely gone, just down to the foundations like a hurricane hit. And the other thing that they're having to do is these entire forest sections are black, and so they're cutting these trees down. So these entire areas near the roads are clear cut, which I assume they cut down those trees as fire breaks. I'm not quite sure of the whole practices and science of fighting forest fires, but it was really something to see. And of course, you end up being delayed. So you're constantly being delayed because of these one lane roads with a flagman, and you have to go and wait and then go down the other lane because they're still pulling these giant, logs off the road, and then the roads have to be rebuilt. So I keep thinking, well, my God, this is a huge expense, just a terrible thing. But the thing that really struck me today was Greenville, California. Greenville, California, completely and totally destroyed. The entire town just burned out. Now, there's other sections of the town that weren't destroyed, but I would say probably the largest section, the public library, looked like part of City Hall. The only thing that survived was the school, surprisingly enough. So my first impressions of a real forest fire, now I understand, I guess, why there was so much coverage. I don't think that if I had come out here, you couldn't get a vehicle in that area, because I saw more than one truck that had just been completely burned. So, it would it definitely bubble your paint and cause all kinds of damage to your vehicle just to be in that area, because these are massive, massive fires. And of course, this winter, and I don't know if they're going to change this or not, but right now, in the fall, in early October, a lot of the Forest Service campgrounds are closed, and you can't have a fire anywhere. Like I got to Carson City, the Carson City area, there's a little park, I think it's called Davis Park, actually, which is a county park right off of 395, the alternate, the old 395. And I went in there, and there's no fires allowed anywhere around here. So this is why I've been doing Walmarts and truck stops. And we'll talk about a lot of this and some of my impressions of this sort of part of the trip in the second half of this podcast. On another subject, just read an article about how businesses are struggling to figure out how to get people to come back to the office. Everybody wants to work from home. Lots of people are still working from home, and they are not moving. They are not getting up. They are getting fat. They've got jelly belly and all these other issues. Let me introduce you to BU Enterprises, because they're going to help you with that problem, because you know as well as I do, you got to get up and move. So here's what BU does. BU gives you a powerful set of tools, a toolbox to help you be your best self, right where you are all day long. You can be grounded, you can be centered, you can be calm, you can be stronger, you can be free, and you can be you, and you know that there are distractions and difficulties in the home when you're working as well. And these things all help you deal with that. That's what BU does. Get the toolbox for yourself or your whole team. Visit BUEnterprises.com for more information or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So yeah, I'm driving along and you're going through these winding hills that used to be these beautiful forests. I've been through all along 36, just amazing forests. And I think I came west through there in the middle of the night when I had my Trans Am at one point. And I remember that the thicket of that forest and just being amazed at the redwoods in there. And this is not the area that burned, thank God. This is the part that's over closer to the California coast. So it's a little cooler and it's a little more rainy in there. But as you work your way up 36, you're winding and you're turning and you're looking and you're turning, and you know how mountain roads are. You're angled up and you're turning and you look down and you see things. And this is, or you look over and you see things, and you're constantly stopping because it's one lane, so there's a flagman, and you drive past all this equipment, just a staggering amount of equipment, trucks and earth movers and cranes and steam shovel type equipment, real heavy moving equipment, picking up these giant logs and literally piling them up like firewood. And then these other guys come by and they put the logs through giant wood chippers, or I suppose if they're not too burned, they are sent off to for some other purpose. So there's a lot of logging trucks, there's a lot of heavy equipment up there, and there's a lot of waiting because, you know, they let 17, 20 cars go, and then they let the other 17 or 20 cars go, and people are going through there. So I'm driving through, and I'm starting to notice as we kind of come through these areas, I'm starting to notice, oh, this was like a little gas stop, place to get ice and bait and firewood, and it's gone, like down to the foundation. And then you start to see buildings that are burned, but they're not burned beyond recognition. The signs are completely burned away. There's no paint on the signs. There's no paint on the road signs. But the buildings, the skeletons of the buildings are still there. And I came to, and I'm sure this is not the only town like this. I came to Greenville, California, and a good part of the town is completely destroyed. Just completely burned, like houses burned to the ground, several houses burned to the ground, neighborhoods burned to the ground, trees gone. It looked like an atomic bomb had hit there, or it was that kind of damage. And I hate to say it looked like a war zone. It did look like some incredibly powerful force that involved fire, which is exactly what it was, just ate the town. And destroyed it. The public library, gone. All the books are ashes. Town hall, gone. A bunch of gas stations and other little stores that used to be there are just gone. And people's cars are still parked there. They're just burned out. They're literally burned. The tire's gone. They're burned down to the skeleton of the vehicle. There's nothing left. And I find it just fascinating. So those are some of my impressions from the forest fires. But let's get back to the original plan, which was to get down to Death Valley, to get down to Joshua Tree, to get down to Oregon Pipe in Arizona, get down to some of these areas that are warm this time of the year especially. It is starting to cool off in the northern parts of California and the northern parts of Nevada, obviously Oregon and Idaho and places like that, depending on where you are. It feels like fall. I'm in this Walmart parking lot, and you know, they have trees in the Walmarts usually. This one is, I don't know what it is. It looks like a maple tree, and it is already brown, and leaves are blowing across the parking lot. So I'm getting a little taste of fall more than I actually want, and the plan is just to keep heading south tomorrow, headed for Death Valley. That's my plan for tomorrow. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is taking care of yourself on these trips. I've often talked about if you're moving fast, and one of the great chagrins of this particular moment in time is that fuel in California is anywhere between $4.89, $4.69, $4.79 to $5 a gallon. And we're talking for diesel. Diesel to $4.69. And I don't like putting flat-out diesel in this vehicle. And so I joked that I had to come to Nevada to get fuel. Well, what drives the price up in California, to my understanding, is two things. First of all, they have higher fuel taxes. Second of all, they have this crazy thing that when the price goes up, the taxes go up. Somehow it's supposed to cut back on consumption, but it's what it does is it drives people over here to Nevada to get fuel if they're close enough. So I get to Nevada. First thing I see is a Sinclair, and diesel 2 is, now remember, it's $4.69 in California. Diesel 2 in Nevada, and we're talking about on the border, not even deep enough into Nevada. We're talking about the border with California. Diesel 2 is like $3.49 a gallon. Now, as you know, diesel 2 fuel is usually 10, 20 cents more than just regular diesel. So the regular diesel is $3.30, $3.45, something to that effect. And I'm sure if I was in Nebraska, if I was in eastern Colorado, it would be cheaper, much cheaper than California. I don't understand why California does this. It just drives people away from California. Now, I got to go back into California to get back into Death Valley, but I'm definitely going to fill up here in Nevada before I leave, if nothing else, to cheat the Californians out of, you know, a dollar. So 30 gallons, I spent $136 this morning for 27 gallons of diesel 2 at the Loves, where I stayed last night, which was wonderful. The Loves is a wonderfully hospitable environment, but the fuel is terribly expensive. So that's one of the difficult parts. And so I'm constantly going through changes during the day. Now, if you get fatigued, and see, this is very interesting because you don't know that you're fatigued when you're doing this. You feel great. Your energy is up because it's an adventure, especially today. I didn't think about anything today except trying to figure out, how fast I could go on the mountain and, you know, turning left, turning right, turning left, turning right, braking, you know, accelerating, turning the overdrive off, turning the overdrive on, you know, constantly trying to maneuver up and down these hills, and yet seeing these incredible, otherworldly scenes of destruction from these forest fires. And so I wasn't really thinking about anything. And I get here to the Walmart and I thought, well, maybe I should try to find a campsite. Maybe I should go another 25, 30 miles and get to the Flying J. And then I thought, you know, I'm exhausted. I am just completely exhausted. And it's funny because I stayed 2 days at one point at a state park in Oregon. It was great. And I thought, oh, I'm all rested up. I was all rested up. But that detour really took it out of me. And so I don't know what to do. I am staying. Why pay for a campsite? And, you know, when you can't have a fire, I'm not going to pay $25 for, a national forest campground in California. And then you can't have a fire. So I did Loves the last two nights, and Walmart tonight, and I'll probably do another truck stop tomorrow at some point, depending where I end up, because I'm not going to pay for a campsite and not be able to have a fire until I get someplace where I can have a fire. So we'll see about that. But it's interesting because you don't realize how tired you're getting, and then you wear yourself out, and then your mind starts to play tricks on you. Why are you doing this? This is stupid. You're using up too much fuel. You're going too many miles. You got to figure out a way to slow down. This is messed up. Why are you doing it this way? And the upshot from this was, I'm really trying to do the whole, you know, go travel where your intuition takes you. Go travel where you feel like you want to go. Well, usually I'm a little more organized in my travel than that, and that saves fuel and it saves money. But when I go off on a wild goose chase, let's say, and seeing friends is not a wild goose chase, but it's the making appointments to do things. This is the, what gets you into trouble. And so I'm still trying to get used to just traveling in a kind of meandering in a general direction and not feeling like I got to call anybody, not feeling like I got to hang out with anybody, not feeling, not again, not to complain about people I've hung out with, but to realize that sometimes you can push yourself too hard doing this and you can go too far and it ends up costing you a lot of money. It ends up costing you because you're frantic to get to the next thing. I just hate that way of traveling. So this is new. We're coming up on a year of nomad travel continuously. Certainly, the thing that I've learned from talking to a lot of nomads is that all the time that I traveled before when I still had a house definitely counted as nomad travel, even though I claimed it didn't. But a lot of people have been... traveling, and then they stay someplace for 6 months or 6 weeks or 3 months or something to that effect. So this goes back to 2014. So it's been a year. In that year, there have been a lot of, and I'm going to talk about this when I do the year-end podcast. In that year, there have been a lot of places I've had to go. And people I've decided I wanted to see, stopping here, stopping there, going there. And there, it's great to do that. But now I'm kind of slipping into the, where do you want to go today? And what do you want to do today? And what would you like to see? As opposed to just driving through and going, oh, there it is. There's Lassen. Well, there's Yosemite. We're just going to drive through Yosemite. Had to, because you couldn't camp there. That was in the summer. But, and I don't think you could camp at Lassen. You could camp at Lassen at the lodge on the main, right by the main entrance. You can camp there. But I don't, if you don't have a reservation, just FYI. But anyway, can't do that now because it's closed. You can't drive, you can't even drive through Lassen. And Lassen is something to see, I'll have you know. But now I just want to cruise and kind of go where my intuition takes me, but no more of these grand contours, no more of these grand tours that are essentially something like 800-mile detours. No more of that. We're going to try to stay in a general direction and kind of meander a little bit and take our time, and we'll see what happens. And the whole thing is, you know, when you're doing this, to take care of yourself, and I'm just going to close with this. You got to make sure you're eating. You got to make sure that you try to stop and have a fire and have a sort of a homey feeling. You have to make sure that you sleep. Sometimes it's hard to sleep in places. Either a campsite is too quiet or a rest stop is too weird or, you know, a truck stop is too loud, whatever. Sometimes it's hard just to sleep, and you don't end up sleeping until getting to sleep until late. And you're always struggling with an issue, some mechanical issue, tires, filters, batteries. There's always something, and you're always struggling with some kind of navigation problem or issue or thing, which really ought to be fun. And they don't become struggles until you get tired. Because that's the adventure, is seeing, gee, I could go this way, or I could go that way, or I could go this way. I think I'm going to go this way. Why? Well, I don't know yet. I guess I'll find out. That's part of the adventure. Or having a minor problem and meeting people when you get the problem fixed. That's always fun, and that's an experience too. You know, I got to experience Ely, Nevada last week, and that would have not happened had I not had to get new tires. So, you know, taking care of yourself means experiencing things a little bit. I wish I had stayed in Crater Lake, but there's no campgrounds, and I could not find. I was told by Heidi in the white van, shout out to you, that there was a rogue van campground on the other side. I went all the way over there. There was no, I couldn't find it. So then I just decided to keep going. So And this sometimes happens when it's dusk and then your plans shift. So if you don't make plans, then you're going to be subject to shifting plans. And that's when things get a little wacky. So even if you're going to do intuition, even if you're going to do it by how you feel, you kind of have to have a general plan. And I know that. But every now and then, I lose travel discipline and things happen and it frustrates me. It was all good, but it's still frustrating. And that's the other thing, is it, how do you look at it? You know, what's your process for justifying it, and how do you look at it, and do you reach a point where you're angry and you don't know why, and you're frustrated and you don't know why? Well, that's me right now. I'm just on edge. So I guess we'll end it with those little pointers, or just not necessarily pointers, but a view from my perspective a little bit in this first week of October 2021 in Nevada, headed south to the warmth finally. Well, in these days of high costs of fuel, as I've just been talking about, you know that independently owned and operated refueling stations are super, super important. And the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station in Minneapolis is at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood. I've been going there for years, obviously not while I'm on the road, but so those guys are super into the community. They help the community, but they also feature a great selection. I should say, and they feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. And the store is the special sauce. So next time you need coffee or a burrito or some piece of candy or something to that effect, visit 36th and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or on Instagram or Facebook, or you can click on their banner at the top of the page, the BobDavisPodcast.com. Inventors, listen up, because I'm going to give you the name of a company that has an inventor's heart. This is Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. They can help you bring your product to market, and they can help you manufacture it, and you should give them a call, because Mark Korn, the guy that started the company, is an inventor. He understands the challenges of being an inventor and being creative in that area as an engineer, and he really would like to help you. Visit their website at depotstar.com. That's DepotStar, depotstar.com. Now I'm going to drink some more coffee. I ate the cheesecake, so I can't do that again, but that was really, really good, and I'm going to try to sleep. That's the main thing. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1021, the Bob Davis Podcast 1021, live from Carson City, Nevada, at the Walmart. Leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. Such a pleasant stay. Now it's time for me to go. The autumn moon lights my way. But now I smell the rain, and with it came, and it's heading my way. Sometimes I grow so tired.